Stay tuned for Dialogos Radio, a weekly Greek-American radio program hosted by Michael Nevradakis, here on WUSB, Stony Brook. Heard Eleftheria Ravanitaki with a great song to start off today's broadcast titled Milo Mou Ke Mandarini. This is Dialogos Radio, the weekly Greek radio program which airs on 9 radio stations across 4 continents and online. My name is Michael Nevradakis, and for the next hour, I'll be bringing you more great music from Greece, as well as several other special features. On today's edition of the Dialogos interview series, we will be featuring another interview with a pre-election flavor, as we will be speaking with Katerina Moutsatsou, an actress who is participating in this year's European Union parliamentary elections with EPAM, Greece's United Popular Front. In today's interview, Katerina will talk about her decision to officially enter politics, about the positions that she and EPAM both represent, and she will also share her views and insights about the current economic and political situation in both Greece and Europe. And after this interview, stay tuned for the weekly news roundup from Greece, brought to you by the Press Project International, as well as for a second special interview with singer and songwriter Nikos Tsavaris. Coming up right now, though, is this week's edition of the Dialogos interview series and our interview with Katerina Moutsatsou here on Dialogos Radio. the Diálogos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Joining us today on Diálogos Radio in the Diálogos Interview Series is Katerina Moutsatsou, who has enjoyed a successful career in Greece, Europe, and the United States as an actress, and who is now entering politics for the first time. Katerina, welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me, Michael.
To get us started, what led you to decide to enter politics as a candidate in this year's European parliamentary elections, and why have you decided specifically to run with the United Popular Front, also known as EPAM?
First of all, I don't really see it that way. I feel that I have been involved in politics for quite a while now, probably not at the level of pure politics per se, that is running as a member of a party or a movement. But if looking back, the way I lived my life as an actress looks very political to me. And I'll take you back to 1998 when I first went to Turkey to shoot a movie. The entire path that followed was extremely political, not in terms, again, of a political party. I wasn't conscious of it, but it definitely had a political tone. So I was always political on a human level. That's how I can explain it. So then going from that to being really involved, I guess, was just the natural course of things. And I did not really join EPAM. I was asked if I wanted to join and if I was willing to run for the European election, and I just could not say no. I felt it was a duty. It was interesting that I was, for about a week, I was wondering if that was the right thing to do, if I was going to be of any help. That was my biggest concern. How am I able to help? Am I helping those people? Am I helping this political movement? Or am I not helping them by being with them, by joining them? So finally, I took it as a political statement on my part, and I said yes.
And one of EPAM's main positions is that Greece should depart from the Eurozone and should also depart from the European Union as it is presently constituted. And despite that, EPAM is participating in the European parliamentary elections. What does EPAM hope to accomplish from its possible participation in the EU Parliament? And what vision does EPAM have for what Europe should be?
Well, first of all, EPAM is against the European Union as it is. It is not against Europe, but the European Union has grown to be a monstrosity so distant from the peoples of Europe. Even if you look at debates at the European Parliament, they're always empty. Out of the 700 or 700 plus MEPs, sometimes you will see 10 people attending or 40 people attending at, you know, more important debates. You might have 100 people, but usually what you'll see at the European Parliament is an empty session. This shows how the European Union and the MEPs have lost interest themselves. So being against the EU and in favor of your country departing from the EU, from this EU, totally makes sense to try and get there and try to voice that, try to bridge that gap. So I think that is the logic behind EPAM's willing to run. You know, it doesn't mean when you're against something, it doesn't mean that you don't try to fight it from the inside. So that's the logic. The vision of EPAM for Europe, I think, is what the everyday European citizen thought, or still some of them still think, the European Union represents, which is a Europe of democracy where social values are respected, where there is good education, people live in peace with each other, and a fair democratic Europe. This is, I think, how the idea of the European ideal started, and then it turned out to be this monstrosity. So I think the Europe EPAM dreams and all those movements similar to EPAM throughout Europe is a Europe of democracy, where people, the peoples of Europe, live democratically with their neighbors, but can enjoy democracy in their own country. They share their values, but each people is able to be sovereign in their own country, which is not the case anymore. So that idea of sovereignty, to be, you know, the master of your own destiny in your own country, is completely gone, is abolished by the European Union. And EPAM wants to get that back. Not only EPAM, by the way, most European movements who think the same way.
And to continue on that frame of thought, in a recent article which you wrote, you described the European Union as an occupying, enslaving force in Greece and in other countries. In what ways do you believe this is the case?
Of course, this is absolutely the case. For people on the ground, they don't even have to analyze that. They live it on a daily basis. For us living abroad, and for all the young people of Greece who are leaving Greece every day, this is another reality as well. It's an occupied country because, you know, usually we talk, we say the Greek government or Greek politicians, they said that, they decided that, they voted that. This is absolutely not true. There is no such thing as a real Greek government. There are appointed people in every single places in the Greek government and ministries who are basically doing what commissioners, appointed commissioners, German commissioners, I've heard, I haven't confirmed it, but I've heard there's even like a Chinese commissioner somewhere in one Greek ministry. Like, there are commissioners, but mainly German commissioners or EU commissioners, telling the Greek government what to do. So what is this called if not occupation? I mean, it's pretty obvious. Then everything that is being voted is not even truly being voted. There are anti-constitutional laws every single day. The Athens Bar Association released a statement that said that they can't keep up with all the anti-constitutional laws that are being passed on a daily basis. They can't keep up with it. This is not a democracy. This is an occupied place. It's a police state. There is violence on the people. If you try to resist that, you're being attacked, tear gassed. You don't have the right to demonstrate anymore. Mrs. Merkel comes to Greece, you're banned from gatherings, you're banned, you're banned from demonstrating, you're banned from accessing the center of the city. I mean, what is this if not occupation? Words have lost their meaning. So we live in an era where something that we say, rather something that they say in the mainstream media, or words that are being uttered by politicians, means something else. Democracy doesn't mean democracy anymore if a politician says it. A Greek politician talks about democracy. Meanwhile, the government is not a democratic government. And what you usually read is the Greek government, Greece, the Greek government, Greece. No, it's not. Like, why I like to point the finger at the EU, because that's where it all stems from. And of course, I'm not saying that the Greek politicians are not responsible for what they're doing. I think they are absolutely responsible because they are appointed and they are collaborating. But who's behind all this? It's the EU, the European Union. I'd like to point the finger at the European Union. And the reason why I like to do that is because what's happening to Greece now has already started happening in other countries, and we know that. Portugal, Spain, Italy now, although not as bad as Greece. But it's going to happen everywhere. So I like to point the finger at the European Union. I never want to forget that.
Now, despite that, there are many in Greece, and in particular from many of the major political parties and their supporters, who argue that a departure from the Eurozone will be catastrophic for Greece and that Greece needs the European Union. What is your response to these arguments?
Well, these arguments are usually presented, they are not really presented as arguments. They are just presented as facts and as wishful thinking, and I don't know as what they are presented. It seems to me that the people who say, oh, leaving the European Union will be catastrophic, they don't say much else after that. You don't really hear real arguments, or their arguments will be arguments from the past. Like solidarity, the European Union will help Greece. They are protecting us. In what are they protecting us? Where have they shown their solidarity? I mean, we all know that what they call the aid to Greece or bailouts are basically forced loans on us, on the Greek people. All these arguments of they will protect us in terms of national policy or economic policy, where are they protecting us? They aren't. They aren't at all. They have turned against us. They are looking at their own interests. They are completely oblivious to what's going on in Greece. The European Commissioner, Mr. Barroso or Mr. Van Rompuy, who are, by the way, not really well known to the peoples of Europe. You ask any average citizen who is the head of the European Union, they don't even know who it is. So departing from the EU is the most natural thing we could do right now.
Recently, the Greek government has been touting its so-called economic success story and a supposed primary budget surplus that was achieved. However, since that time, we've been hearing a different story, both from the government in the form of possible new austerity measures and also from entities such as Eurostat, who has revealed that the primary surplus is actually a deficit. What are your reactions to this supposed success story?
My reactions have been posted on Twitter months ago when I heard about this scam, because we're talking about a scam. I remember posting this, I think it was January, because I heard somebody say, you know, you hear people talk about primary surplus of Greece, just go to Eurostat website and download every country's primary surplus or deficit because they are online. So I went online and I downloaded Greece's primary deficit in January, which was already huge. And I posted it on my Twitter. And I was intending to point it out to some bloggers who were supposed to be independent, who were talking about primary surplus. And that was like back in January. And I'm no expert. I'm not an economist. And I was able to see in January that this is a scam, because the primary deficit of Greece, which was online and it was an official number from Eurostat, was so huge that there was no way that Greece was going to catch up and have a primary surplus. So if I'm able to figure that out, what are they talking about? The deficit for the first three trimester was so huge that it was impossible for the fourth trimester to catch up on that gap. And now all of a sudden, we're in May. So 5 months later, the media, big media, have started slowly talking about, oh, maybe, you know, after all, it's not a primary surplus. It looks like the numbers have been cooked, and Greece, with the help of the EU, with the support of the EU, is sort of doing this creative accounting, and it looks like Greece will have a deficit. Oh, really? Come on. Let's get serious.
We are on the air with Katerina Moutsatsou here on Dialogos Radio in the Dialogos interview series. Katerina, many in Greece have hopes that the supposedly left-wing Syriza political party will turn things around in the country, and yet we've heard Syriza backtrack on a lot of its positions regarding the government's austerity measures, and we've also heard mixed messages from them regarding Greece's position with the euro. How do you view Syriza and its politics?
What I have come to understand is that Syriza seems very divided. There's the core party people, and then there are other people voicing different voices. So that definitely is visible from anyone. You don't even need to take a closer look. It looks like there are a lot of different opinions about things, but certainly what has now become clear is that, at least officially, Syriza does not want to leave the euro, or to say it a little better, it wants to solve the debt problem within the euro. Now, from my understanding, and again, I'm not an economist, but you don't need much to understand what the euro represents and what a national currency would represent. So it looks like Syriza still doesn't have answers as to how Greece will jumpstart or restart its economy. The economy is dead in Greece. They're talking about investment. How is this going to happen? Again, it's all wishful thinking. So the problem is Syriza theoretically has some good intentions, but I think it's trying to not displease anyone. In a way, it's become very conservative. It's not a radical left anymore, because I think it has the word radical in its name, but it doesn't look radical anymore. It's pretty conservative to say we want to solve the debt problem within the euro, so we want to be in the European Union to save. For me, the euro is over. Greece is a country in deflation and an enormous debt. I think this is the worst nightmare of any economist. And again, I'm no economist, but it's not hard to understand. Money is reflecting relations of power. So if you're not able to control your own economy with your own national currency, and you need to buy the money, because we're buying the euro, right? By borrowing it, we're buying this money. How are you going to restart your economy? How are you going to grow? Their solution is borrow more money. Well, I think this is what led us to where we are in the first place. So is that the solution? Stay in the euro, borrow more money, expensive money, because as Greece, we buy it extremely expensive. Is that the solution?
We've also seen as of late the emergence of a new political party in Greece known as Το Ποτάμι, the river, which is touted as an alternative to the status quo, even though it is led by a journalist, a former journalist, who has had longstanding ties both to major politicians and political parties and also to media moguls in Greece. How do you view this new party and the significant numbers that it seems to be receiving in the polls? And are the polls even believable in your view?
Exactly, yeah. The polls are, I think they're completely inaccurate, if not false, if not cooked as well as other numbers in Greece nowadays. You have polls that are showing New Democracy. I saw this yesterday on Twitter. I can't remember the origin, but it was like New Democracy 27%, Syriza 26.9%, and then Το Ποτάμι, the river party, to 17 or 13. It doesn't even matter. These are ridiculous numbers for someone who, you know, understands a little bit how polls work, and their polls are being commissioned. I don't think polls are honest. I don't think they're reliable. They're just doing their job, which is basically have an impact on the public opinion. Polls are made up. So I don't believe in polls. I don't believe Το Ποτάμι, the river, will reach such percentages. I don't even believe Golden Dawn will reach the percentages that they give it at times. It's all very convenient to get in there with those numbers and influence the people in a way or another. As far as specifically the river is concerned, this is at least a ridiculous move on this journalist's part and the media moguls that are behind it. You have to be a complete ignorant to believe that a person out of nowhere who was working for the system will be able to do anything or change anything. I mean, it is very unfortunate that this person still gets a lot of exposure. But I think it's more of a fabricated phenomenon than anything else.
A few moments ago, we said a few words about the continued austerity measures that are being imposed in Greece by the government and by the Troika, the European Union. You've lived for the past few years in California, and as far as I know, many public utilities in California, and in particular the electric utilities, are operated by private companies. Are you aware of what that experience has been like for the residents of California?
Oh, yes. Everything has become extremely expensive. It's very interesting to live in the United States nowadays. What people don't realize usually in Europe is that they have this image of America and the American dream. But if you live in the United States, basically you have seen fast forward what they are trying to do in Europe right now. That means most of the services are private, from electricity to water to education. It's always been majorly private in the United States, but now it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I mean, we have entire states that are taking money from education and throwing it into horse races or lottery. This is insane. All these measures, all these changes have a tremendous impact on the people's lives. And it's basically the weak in a society that can't be protected. If you've got money or if you've managed to make money and you're up there, you don't care. You will buy private insurance and you will send your kids to college, even though it's expensive and all these things, and you'll be able to afford it. And then you'll say, oh, this is great. You know, it works. The system works. But if you are weaker in a society, you are completely abandoned to yourself. You have no welfare state. You have nowhere to turn to. So basically, all this privatization just benefit the rich and leave the weak in a society completely powerless.
Now, returning specifically to EPAM, the party recently released its platform for what it would do in the first 100 days of an EPAM-led national government in Greece. What are some of the more important aspects of EPAM's platform above and beyond just a return to a national currency?
I think the most important thing is to stop servicing the debt unilaterally. And what we've been reading in the mainstream media for the past 4 years now is bilateral agreement. Greece owes money, so you have this relationship with your lender where basically the lender is the powerful one telling you what to do. And we've been told that we are completely powerless, and if we don't pay the money, we will lose our place in the world. Nobody will want to lend money to Greece and all these things. And I think the most important thing that EPAM wants to do is the fact that it will say, this is impossible. This debt is impossible to service. We can't pay. We will stop paying. As of today, we stop paying. Because if we do, our people is just going to suffer. It's been suffering already for all those years. So it can't go on paying. It'll be against the people, against the country. It'll be a complete destruction. So I think this is the most important point. And once you say that, then you can sit down with the people and come to an agreement. As international law allows a country to do that, it allows a country to stop paying, to stop servicing a debt. If this debt is basically destroying the people of the country and the country itself, if this is possible under international law, I think Greece should do it right away. Greece should use that and stop paying the debt. This is the most important part.
EPAM has received very little media coverage in Greece or abroad, even now in a lead up to both the European and the local elections in Greece. How is EPAM as a political movement, and how are you as a candidate attempting to get the word out to the public?
It's funny. I don't feel that I need to get the word out. If anyone has been following me either on Twitter or on Facebook, I do not even advertise EPAM specifically. I'm doing what I've been doing for the past 4 years when I didn't even know EPAM existed, when I was by myself doing my own videos, trying to figure stuff out myself, for myself, and then sharing it with others. So I'm doing the exact same thing. I'm trying to share information that I consider to be crucial, that I consider to be true, and that I consider to be of service to the Greek people or the international community. This is what I'm doing. And I think EPAM has kind of the same logic. It doesn't feel it needs any sort of advertisement. EPAM has been going around Greece. The way this movement was built is extremely interesting because it has all these nuclei around the country that are completely independent, that are acting on the ground. So the fact that it's completely blocked by mainstream media, whether Greek or international, is of no importance, really, because if you're able to be on the ground, reach out to people, organize them, and then organize the society in order to be able, first of all, to survive, because that was, I think, one of the initial aims was to help organize the society locally in order to help people get access to medication when they couldn't have insurance, protect them from losing their homes if there was a foreclosure. It's on the ground. So in a way, it's completely irrelevant whether it's blocked or not blocked by the mainstream media. It might, of course, it takes more time to get the word out, but that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to enter the society and to be able to know one another and to be able to organize and to feel that there's a solidarity on the ground. Whether the mainstream media want to publish that, want to publicize it or not, is their problem. It's two different logics. So that's why I don't feel that I have to specifically advertise IPAM. That's why I think a lot of people from the same movement think the same way as I do. Well, what I need to do is definitely go on publishing, sharing information.
In the event that you are elected to the European Parliament, do you have plans on relocating from the United States and coming back to Greece or even spending a lot of time in Brussels?
I don't know. I think this is an unlikely possibility for me to be elected. And again, that is not my aim. All I want is be of help and to spread the word, to be helpful. If I can trigger anyone's attention as to, oh, why is she running with this party? Why is she even running in the first place? What does she believe in? Who is she? And all these things. If I can trigger the slightest curiosity of anyone, that means my goal is fulfilled. So I don't really believe, you know, I'll be elected, and I haven't really thought of it. But of course, if it happens, I will totally relocate and I will totally be there and I will totally work a lot in order to be able to be at the level of fulfilling what I was elected to do. But let's not, it's a little too early to say what I'm going to be doing then, because I think there are a lot more capable than me. I don't feel myself as qualified as others. There are a thousand other people more qualified than me to be in that position and to be in the European Parliament. So let's leave that for later if it happens.
Now, looking beyond the elections, one thing that I've personally observed in Greece is a tremendous amount of self-loathing and negativity from a significant portion of Greek society. There's this feeling that Greece is worthless, that Greeks alone are responsible for all of the problems that the country is experiencing, that Greece is not as civilized as other Western countries, and anyone saying something to the contrary is often branded as a nationalist or even as a fascist, as a Golden Dawn supporter. And from what I know, you've dealt with this mentality firsthand. How do you respond to it?
It's very hard to try and implant your knowledge onto other people's mind. But I am a person who have lived in 5 different countries and in 3 different continents, if I include Turkey and Asia. So I know that every people is the same. There are certain characteristics, but people are people and they are the same everywhere. So you have greedy people in the States, you have greedy people in Turkey, you have greedy people in Greece, and you have wonderful people in Turkey and Italy and the States, etc., etc. So this is a complete fabricated lie. And by the way, this is how it all started. You keep telling people that you're worth and you're lazy and this and that, and they will believe it. Self-guilt, that is a true characteristic of the Greeks. Self-guilt. Yes, that one they do have versus, for example, the Americans. So knowing this, that Greeks have a high level of self-guilt in their consciousness, they put that little seed in there at the beginning of the crisis, and then they cultivated that thing, they brainwashed the people, and at the end they believed it. You know, the Greeks believe today, I mean, the ones that are following the mainstream media, of course, I'm talking about these types of Greeks, that yes, we're lazy, yes, we've done wrong, yes, we are to blame. Like, they've come to believe that, which is very sad, because, you know, it isn't the reality. It's a complete fabrication. It's a way to weaken the society and then start from there. Once you have a weak society that doesn't believe in itself, then you can start destroying at will.
Now, before we wrap up the interview, share with us a few words about some of the other projects that you have been working on recently outside of politics.
Well, it's actually not outside of politics, even though they're more in the creative field. I have been producing an animation for the past year and a half called Sarah and Mara. I've been doing it both in Greek and English. It was published initially at the newspaper Eleftherotypia in Greece. I started doing it anonymously because I didn't want anyone to have any preconceptions or ideas in relations to me. So I wanted this to be completely neutral. I just wanted people to watch an animation. I didn't want them to know where it came from. But now I'm open about it. It's kind of my own discovery of politics in Greece. I used to be, in a way, from apolitical to political, but doing it in an entertaining way, in a naive way, it was a nice way out for me personally, and I wanted it to be registered somehow. So I've been doing this political animation for a year and a half, and it goes on more loosely, but it does go on, and it's my own little commentary on what's going on in Greece and Europe and also elsewhere in a way. And the other thing I've been doing is I'm collaborating with a company in the US which has developed applications related to politics. It's not ready to be launched yet, but it's again bridging technology, creativity, and politics, and trying to give the people a voice through technology, through creativity. So this is what I've been dealing with. It's a huge project, but I think what the world needs is to be informed better. I think that whatever bad the people are undergoing is directly related to information or misinformation. So that is the direction this collaboration is going to, trying to inform people firsthand, give them voice, open debates, and thus being able to make better decisions, because the society needs that. Information is good information, true information is hard to find. So trying to do that more aggressively, more directly for people is my sole goal nowadays. And I do that using all the knowledge I have, creative knowledge, technological, and collaboration.
Wonderful. Well, Katerina, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today on the Dialogos Radio and the Dialogos interview series. And best of luck in the upcoming elections and with all of your pursuits.
Thank you, Michael.
Attention iTunes users, the Dialogos Radio is now just a click away. You can now download our podcasts and listen to the Dialogos Radio 24/7 anytime, anywhere. Check us out today in the iTunes podcast directory and in iTunes Radio. That was this week's edition of the Dialogos interview series here on Dialogos Radio, where we spoke with actress Katerina Moutsatsou, who is a candidate in this year's European parliamentary elections with EPAM, Greece's United Popular Front. As always, this podcast will soon be available on our website, dialogosmedia.org, in our apps for Android, Kindle, and BlackBerry devices, and for Google Chrome, in iTunes and TuneIn.com, in the Windows Marketplace for Windows phones and for the Windows 8 operating system, and in the Swell Radio and WeCast apps for the iPhone and iPad. Coming up next here on the Dialogos Radio is the weekly news roundup from Greece, brought to you by the Press Project International.
Welcome to the weekly news roundup, brought to you by the Press Project International, presenting you with the top stories of the week as of Thursday, the 8th of May, 2014. For more Greek news, go to thepressproject.net. If PASOK fails to win significant support in the upcoming European elections on the 25th of May, it would lead to the withdrawal of the junior coalition partner from the government and trigger national elections. That was the message Deputy Prime Minister and leader of the party, Evangelos Venizelos, and other top party officials conveyed this week in a series of public statements. PASOK will be represented in the European elections by the newly created umbrella group ELIA, or Olive Tree. According to a recent poll, ELIA is polling at 7%. The same poll shows opposition party Syriza in first place at 22.5%, leading New Democracy by 2 points. The latest move by the party is a clear attempt to make PASOK or instability a central dilemma for centre-left voters. Leader of the Democratic Left Party, Fotis Kouvelis, accused his key rival of attempting to blackmail voters by raising the spectre of political instability. The aggressive positioning of PASOK also takes place against a backdrop of thinly concealed internal divisions, with party officials still loyal to George Papandreou raising the prospect of change in PASOK's leadership in the event of a poor showing by the party. There were scenes of high drama on Wednesday as Parliament voted overwhelmingly to suspend the parliamentary immunity of 4 MPs elected on the Golden Dawn ticket who have been imprisoned pending trial on charges including leading and participating in a criminal organisation and illegal possession of guns and explosives. Chrysovaladis Alexopoulos, Nikos Michos, Yorgos Igermenis and Stathis Boukouras addressed the chamber prior to the vote in a charged atmosphere. 2 of the MPs, Alexopoulos and Boukouras, left the party in March under the weight of the charges against them and used their addresses to distance themselves from the neo-Nazi organization. Alexopoulos alleged outright that other Golden Dawn MPs had perpetrated criminal acts directed at the highest level, but denied that he had any part in them. In response to his speech, other Golden Dawn MPs waved banknotes in the air, implying that he had been paid off. Further drama unfolded when the second Golden Dawn defector took the floor. In an emotional and highly personal defense, Stathis Boukouras began sobbing loudly as he protested his innocence. But magistrates say considerable evidence directly links Boukouras to the training and activity of Golden Dawn paramilitary hit squads behind violent attacks on immigrants. A bill proposed by the government that would open the way for widespread commercial exploitation of beaches and coastal property has provoked an intense public outcry both in Greece and abroad. If passed into law, the bill would do away with a number of long-standing protections which restrict developments and preserve the open access to the seafront for the public, which is enshrined in the Greek constitution. The bill, which was not drafted by the competent environment ministry but by the finance ministry with the aim of boosting revenue, immediately provoked the outrage of environmental groups, opposition parties and wide segments of the public. The numerous critics of the bill, which include at least one government MP, say that it will sacrifice the long-term viability of sustainable tourism in Greece in favour of high-intensity developments such as those seen on the coast of Spain. 22 refugees and irregular immigrants lost their lives when 2 boats capsized north of Samos in the early hours of Monday morning, adding to the mounting death toll in the Aegean. The dead included children and pregnant women. A further 36 people were rescued from the accident, while it is believed that others may still be unaccounted for. Initial reports put the total number of passengers on the boats at 65. The incident once again highlighted how European strict border control policies are driving many desperate refugees fleeing conflicts in countries such as Syria, Iraq, and Afghanistan to undertake hazardous sea crossings in crowded boats. The tragic incident led to many international bodies, including the United Nations Refugee Agency, to reissue calls on European leaders to offer more legal routes for refugees and irregular immigrants seeking entry into the EU. And finally, Greece led a worldwide decline in press freedoms, according to a report recently released by the American NGO Freedom House. In 1 year, Greece saw a 17-point shift in the score given to it by the organization, the largest such decline in any country worldwide. It slid to 96th place, the lowest-ranking EU member state, and below countries including the Philippines, Brazil, and Botswana. According to the Freedom House analysts, the government's abrupt closure of the public broadcaster ERTS in June of 2013 was the primary driver for Greece's low ranking. The economic crisis also played a significant role, with journalists more dependent on employers and less willing to voice unpopular views. The press in Greece is largely dominated by a few conglomerates who directly or indirectly control most main broadcasters and newspaper titles. I'm Pavlos Zafiropoulos, and this has been your weekly news roundup by the Press Project International. For more Greek news, visit thepressproject.net.
Tales Take Diálogos Radio on the go with you with the new Diálogos Radio app for Android devices. Now you can listen live to Diálogos Radio and Diálogos Radio 24/7, download our podcasts, and read our latest articles all in our free Android app, available now in the Google Play Store. That was the weekly news roundup from Greece, brought to you by the Press Project International here on Diálogos Radio. And coming up right now is our second interview of the day, where we will be speaking with Greek singer and songwriter Nikos Tsavaris about his long-standing working relationship with one of the biggest names in Greek music, the late Dimitris Mitropanos, his new collaboration with another major Greek singer, Themis Adamantidis, as well as his many experiences singing and performing overseas for the Greek diaspora. This interview, which is in Greek, is coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. The Diálogos Interview Series, our weekly segment featuring interviews on matters pertaining to Greece and the worldwide Greek community, coming up next here on Diálogos Radio. Μαζί μας εδώ στο Διάλογος Radio είναι ένα παλιό γνώριμο πρόσωπο για την εκπομπή μας, ο τραγουδιστής Νίκος Τσαβαρής. Νίκο, καταρχήν καλώς όρισες στην εκπομπή μας.
Και εγώ μια καλησπέρα ή καλό απόγευμα, πώς θέλω να το πούμε, με τους δύο καλούς μου φίλους, τον Κώστα και Θεοδοσίου και τον Μιχάλη.
Είναι η επέτειος από τα 2 χρόνια από το θάνατο του μεγάλου Δημήτρη Μητροπάνο, ένας μεγάλος τραγουδιστής και καλλιτέχνης με τον οποίο είχατε την ευκαιρία να συνεργαστείτε στο παρελθόν, και επίσης έχετε βγάλει και ένα δίσκο με τραγούδια που είναι αφιερωμένα στον
Δημήτρη. Μπράβο, το αφιέρωμα Μητροπάνο. Του Δημήτρη Μητροπάνου, το πρώτο τραγούδι του δίσκου που είχε και τίτλο «Το αφιέρωμα», στίχη μουσική είναι δική μου, και χθες η αλήθεια μιλούσαμε με την κυρία Βένια Μητροπάνου. Και μου λέει, Νικόλα μου, όταν είσαι στην Αθήνα και φτιάξεις κάτι αφιέρωμα, είμαι κοντά σου. Απλώς αυτές τις μέρες δεν μπορώ, διότι κάνω μετακόμιση σπιτιού. Και καταλαβαίνεις τώρα, μια γυναίκα με τρία παιδιά, τι γίνεται.
Πείτε μας μερικά λόγια για τον δίσκο που έχετε βγάλει, το αφιέρωμα.
Έχω γράψει το αφιέρωμα που συμμετέχουν μέσα 13 κομμάτια. Και είναι γραμμένα από μένα τα 3 κομμάτια, είναι στίχη μουσική δική μου, είναι το αφιέρωμα, Σίμι Ωραία και το Φάτα Νικόλα τα Λεφτά. Τα άλλα είναι του Τάκη Μπουσαφίρη, του Τόλι Βοσκόπουλου, Πάπα Βασιλείου και συνεχίζουνε.
Και τώρα θα ξεκινήσετε μια νέα συνεργασία με άλλο ένα μεγάλο όνομα του ελληνικού λαϊκού τραγουδιού, τον Θέμη Αδαμαντίδη. Πείτε μας για αυτή την καινούργια συνεργασία σας.
Η συνεργασία με τον ξάδερφό μου πιστεύω να πάει καλά, διότι είχε δουλέψει και με τον συγχωρεμένο Δημήτρη. Ξέρει τα χνότα του και είναι τιμή του που μου λέει καμιά φορά, πού να ξέρω ότι ο ξάδερφός μου ήταν στην Αυστραλία και είναι ο ίδιος Μητροπάνος. Λοιπόν, πιστεύω ότι καλοκαιρινές από την άλλη εβδομάδα και έπειτα, γιατί πάει η Αυστραλία ο Θέμης, δεν μπορούσα να πάω μαζί του αυτή τη στιγμή γιατί είχα υποχρεώσεις άλλες. Πιστεύω στο γυρισμό του, κανονίζω για Κύπρο και μέχρι Ισραήλ που μου είπε που θέλει κι αυτός, δηλαδή έχει πάει στο Ισραήλ, να φτάσουμε.
Και αναφερθήκατε τώρα στην Αυστραλία, όπου και εσείς έχετε περάσει πολλά χρόνια, όπως επίσης και στις Ηνωμένες Πολιτείες και άλλες χώρες.
Βεβαίως.
Πείτε μας μερικές από τις εμπειρίες που είχατε στο εξωτερικό.
Η εμπειρία μου και Αμερική που πήγα, δεν έχω κανένα παράπονο, πήγα πολύ καλά, ήμουνα στο Crystal Palace. Σπηλιά δούλεψα, τώρα είναι συγχωρεμένη, ποτέ δεν είναι συγχωρεμένα τα κέντρα, γιατί φάγαμε ψωμί όλοι. Απλώς ότι και η Αυστραλία είναι η χώρα μου, διότι μεγάλωσα εκεί. Και έχω να πω ένα μεγάλο ευχαριστώ για τους ομογενείς και τιμή μου θα είναι να ξαναβρεθώ κοντά τους πάλι, που πιστεύω σύντομα θα πάω κοντά τους, στην αγκαλιά τους βέβαια. Τώρα εσείς με αγκαλιάσατε, τώρα πρέπει να με αγκαλιάσω και οι πόλοι που έφυγα. Λοιπόν, αυτά είναι μέχρι τώρα τα σχέδιά μου και τα προγράμματά μου. Στη Σύμη θα, το καλοκαίρι θα δώσω άλλη μια μεγάλη βραδιά. Η περσινή ήταν λίγο εκνευρισμένη, διότι δεν μας δώσαν τον χρόνο να πάει μέχρι τις 6 το πρωί, πήγαμε 2, εντάξει.
Και η εκπομπή μας ακούγεται και στην Αυστραλία από το Radio 1 της Αδελαΐδας, ακούγεται βέβαια και στη Σίμη από το Star Radio 12 νήσου. Επειδή αναφερθήκατε τώρα στη Σίμη, πείτε μας περισσότερες πληροφορίες για το πρόγραμμα που ετοιμάζεται για το φετινό καλοκαίρι.
Το πρόγραμμα το καλοκαιριού δεν το ξέρω ακόμη, γιατί είναι δύο υποψήφοι και οι δύο φίλοι, ο ένας είναι ανεψός μου και ο άλλος φίλος μου βέβαια. Εύχομαι πάντως οι δύο αφού κατεβαίνουν κάποιος θα κερδίσει. Δεν είναι δυνατό και οι δύο. Και όταν γίνει λοιπόν όποιος είναι ο δήμαρχος, δηλαδή έχω και καμιά κακιά εμπειρία από δημάρχους εγώ, δεν είναι σημασία ανεψός μου ή φίλος μου, πάντως βοήθεια δεν βρήκα από δημάρχους. Το λέω με παράπονο, αλλά εγώ εμείς θα πάμε στη Σίμη, θα πάμε το Radio Star και θα πάμε για τους Σημιακούς. Συμφωνείς κύριε Κώστα? Μπράβο. Λοιπόν, αυτά είναι τα όνειρά μου, τα σχέδιά μου μέχρι το καλοκαίρι, αυτά ξέρω. Από εκεί και πέρα στέλνω την αγάπη μου στην Αμερική, Αυστραλία, στη Σίμη και όπου αλλού μας ακούνε.
Λοιπόν, να σου κάνω κι εγώ μια ερώτηση. Είπες τα μαγαζιά της Αμερικής ήτανε...
Το Crystal Palace, Σπηλιά, ναι, και τα Αστέρια Βοιαζής.
Και τα Αστέρια, γιατί ξέχασα να το πεις πριν στην ερώτηση, αλλά μας πεις και της Αυστραλίας.
Της Αυστραλίας είναι μαγαζιά από πού θέλεις που έχω τραγουδήσει. Καστελορίζα Κλαπ, Μέγα Αλέξανδρο, το Κυπρέικο το Κλαπ, η Κοινότητα και πού δεν έχω τραγουδήσει. Και θα είναι τιμή μου αυτή η ώρα που μας ακούτε να μας ακούει και όλο το μέρος της Αυστραλίας, δηλαδή από Πέρθ, Αντελάι, πιστεύω το Αντελάι μας πιάνει. Έχω τραγουδήσει στο Hellas Club και το πρώτο ταξίδι που θα κάνω στην Αυστραλία θα αρχίσω πρώτα από το Αντελάι και να κατεβαίνω Μελβούρνη, Μπρίσμπαν, Σίδνεϊ, Καμπέρα και Νιούκαστλ. Τα έχω πει, τα έχω γυρίσει και τα έζησα και τραγούδησα.
Εγώ έχω προσωπική εμπειρία από τη Νέα Υόρκη συγκεκριμένα, επειδή εκεί γεννήθηκα, εκεί μεγάλωσα και αυτά τα μαγαζιά που ονόμασες έχουν αφήσει εποχή στην Αστόρια, αν και κανένα από αυτά δυστυχώς δεν υπάρχει πια.
Ήτανε μεγάλα τα τεράστια τα έξοδα, κακά τα ψέματα, δεν είναι μόνο τα έξοδα των μαγαζιών. Έξοδα είναι και αυτόν τον καλλιτέχνη που φέρνεις από στο Διονυσίου, θυμάμαι πολύ καλά στην Αμερική. Είναι τεράστια έξοδα, διότι αν θες να καλλιτέχνει το λιγότερο από την Ελλάδα, θέλεις 15 με 20 χιλιάδες, εκεί πέφτει περίπου ευρώ. Τώρα αυτό είναι σαν αμερικάνικα δολάρια. Λοιπόν, δεν είναι μόνο τα του καλλιτέχνη τα λεφτά. Είναι η ορχήστρα που έχει μέσα το μαγαζί. Τα γκαστόνια, πού είναι τα ενίκια, πού. Δηλαδή, με μία βραδιά, όσο και γεμάτο να γίνει το μαγαζί, δεν σηκώνει για τόσα μεγάλα κεφάλια και γι' αυτό κλείσανε αυτές οι επιχειρήσεις.
Τώρα για να γυρίσουμε ξανά σε Δίδα, επειδή αναφερθήκατε νωρίτερα στο δίσκο που βγάλατε, το αφιέρωμα στον Δημήτρη Μητροπάνο, ήθελα να μας πείτε μερικά λόγια και για την υπόλοιπη δισκογραφική σας δουλειά.
Η υπόλοιπη μου δουλειά ήταν με τα νησιώτικά μου. Έχω κάνει το Δίδας Καρδιά μου, στίχη μουσική, ολόκληρο το CD και μετά διπλό CD, το Όλα Ψεύτικα, τίτλος που έχω γράψει Εγώ Δεν Είμαι Αϊτός. Έχω γράψει περίπου 7-8 κομμάτια από τον προηγούμενο δίσκο και αυτά μέχρι σήμερα είναι που είναι οι δίσκοι, τα τραγούδια μου που με κρατήσανε εδώ που είμαι, στην αγκαλιά του κόσμου λέμε, γιατί αν δεν σε αγκαλιάσει ο κόσμος, Μιχάλη, δεν μπορείς να προχωρήσεις. Είναι δηλαδή το κλειδί, η αρχή είναι ο κόσμος. Και θέλω να παρεμβώ ότι τα τραγούδια του Μητροπάνου είναι πολύ δύσκολα κομμάτια και ήμουν τυχερός, πάρα πολύ τυχερός. Πάντα μου έλεγε ο Δημήτρης, γιατί γνωριστήκαμε τον Δημήτρη στην Αυστραλία. Εγώ τραγούσα Μητροπάνο και δεν ήξερα ποιος ήταν ο Μητροπάνος. Και κάποια στιγμή ο Παγιάντης, ο μαέστρος, του λέει: Δημήτρη, έχει ένα παιδί που τραγουδάει δικά σου κομμάτια. Τι θα γίνει? Και λέει: Ξέρεις, ο Μητροπάνος λίγο μάγκας, όπως ήταν αριστοκράτης, άντρας. Λέει: Εδώ η Ελλάδα δεν τραγουδάει κανένας Μητροπάνο. Θα τραγουδήσει κανείς στην Αυστραλία? Και λέει: Μίλες πολλά γιατί σου μοιάζει κιόλα. Εγώ τραγούσα Μητροπάνο και ανοίξα πίσω Μητροπάνο. Και όταν με άκουσε, από τότε μου έβαλε στα αυτιά μου ψίλους. Ήρθα στην Ελλάδα 10 φορές ταξίδια και δεν μου άρεσε το περιβάλλον. Η αλήθεια του λέει: Το Δημήτρη, σου χαρίζω για την Ελλάδα και τον κόσμο της. Και αλλά μου λέει: Εδώ πρέπει να ξεκινήσεις. Και έκανα προσπάθεια όπως τα κατάφερα. Και καταφέρνω σιγά σιγά όπου τραγουδήσω με τη σφραγίδα των ανθρώπων, την αγάπη μου αγκαλιάσανε. Γιατί δίχως αυτούς δεν μπορεί να κάνεις τίποτα. Όσο για να θέλω να το πω, είναι ότι η αγάπη σας είναι ο στέλεχος μου. Είναι το θεμέλιο μου.
Και το νέο σας πρόγραμμα με τον Αδαμαντίδη, αν δεν κάνω λάθος, ξεκινάει εντός των ημερών.
Ήτανε να γίνει μεθαύριο μια μεγάλη βραδιά. Λόγω, δεν ξέρω για ποιο λόγο ο μένιτζερ είπαν να μην γίνει την Παρασκευή, να γίνει σε κάποιο μαγαζί χώρο άνω των 300 ατόμων. Και έτσι η κυρία Βένια πιστεύουμε να είναι κοντά μας, αν μας ακούει κιόλα. Θα είναι η πρώτη καλεσμένη στο τραπέζι, το πρώτο που λέμε κοντά μας η κυρία Βένια Μητροπάνου. Και να της πούμε σαν τα βάση καρδιάς μου, μας ακούει, ένα μεγάλο ευχαριστώ από σένα κυρία Βένια που με βοήθησες πάρα πολύ να πάρω τα δικαιώματα του Δημήτρη Μητροπάνου, και εκεί που είναι ο Δημήτρης μας βλέπει. Πάντα θα τον τραγουδώ και θα το σέβομαι και θα τον εκτιμάω.
Και κλείνοντας εδώ την σημερινή μας συνέντευξη, έχετε κάποιο τελευταίο μήνυμα, κάποιο χαιρετισμό προς τους απανταχού Έλληνες, τους ακροατές μας που μας ακούν αυτή τη στιγμή?
Βεβαίως, είναι υγεία να έχουν οι ανθρώποι εκεί πέρα που είναι, χαρά, και πιστεύω σύντομα να ξεκινήσω μεγάλη σταδιοδρομία μου της καριέρας μου από Αμερική και να φτάσω στην Αυστραλία, αυτό το όνειρό μου, μόλις βρω την πρώτη ευκαιρία που θα φτιάξουμε τα προγράμματα με τον κύριο Θέμη Αδαμαντίδη, διότι έχει δουλέψει με τον Μητροπάνο και τώρα είναι τιμή του να δουλέψει τα δύο ξαδέρφια μαζί.
Νίκο, λοιπόν, ευχαριστώ πάρα πολύ που ήσασταν μαζί μας σήμερα εδώ στην εκπομπή μας, στην εκπομπή Dialogos Radio, και καλή επιτυχία με το καινούριο σας πρόγραμμα και καλή συνέχεια.
Ένα μεγάλο ευχαριστώ. Στέλνω την αγάπη μου στη Σίμη κατά πρώτο που είναι η γεννήτηρα μου. Όπου μας ακούει αυτός ο σταθμός, ένα μεγάλο ευχαριστώ στο Radio Star, στο απέναντι μου βλέπω τον Μιχάλη, τον Αμερικανό. Ή από πού είσαι, Μιχάλη, δεν μου είπες.
Γεννημένος στη Νέα Υόρκη.
Η Μπόνδε.
Εκεί είμαι γεννημένος, okay. Με καταγωγή βέβαια από την Κάρπαθο και την Κρήτη.
Συγχαρητήρια. I send my love λοιπόν στην Αμερική, my love στην Αυστραλία, και ένα μεγάλο ευχαριστώ σε αυτά τα παιδιά που βρίσκομαι σήμερα και στο Radio Star, το οποίο είμαι υποχρεωμένος να το πω, γιατί είναι ένα ράδιο το οποίο τα παιδιά βασανίζονται, προσπαθούν και αυτοί να φτάσουν σε αυτό το ράδιο και να ακούει η φωνή, η ελληνική φωνή σε όλο τον κόσμο. Σας ευχαριστώ πάρα πάρα πολύ.
Να είστε καλά, ευχαριστούμε και εμείς.
Ο διάλογος στα social media. Ενημερωθείτε για την αγαπημένη σας ραδιοφωνική εκπομπή τώρα στο facebook.com/dialogosmedia και στο twitter.com/dialogosmedia.
We just heard our second interview of today's broadcast, where we spoke in Greek with singer and songwriter Nikos Tsavaris. This is Dialogos Radio, the Greek radio program which bridges the global Hellenic community each week through 9 radio stations on 4 continents and online. Today's broadcast is just about ready to come to a close, but on next week's broadcast we will continue our pre-election features with an interview with the renowned economist Leonidas Vatikiotis, who is a candidate in this year's European parliamentary elections with the political party Andalusia. We will close out today's broadcast with one final song, as we will hear Nikos Tsavaris, who we just interviewed, with a song dedicated to the beautiful Greek island of Simi. The song is titled Simi Orea. The Dialogos Radio will be back on the air again next week, same time, same place. Thank you once again for joining us, and have a wonderful weekend.
Τα βουνά σου, με τους ψαράδες τη θάλασσα σου. Σήμη ωραία με παλικάρια, έγινα δίτες για τα σφουγγάρια. Με καπετάνιους μηχανικούς σου, έχουν ζωλός δρόμους τους ναυτικούς σου. Σήμη ωραία, γενετήρα μου, είσαι το άστρο, είσαι θεά μου. Σήμη ωραία,
κλωβενιά μου, ίσου γεθάσαι μες στην καρδιά μου. Σωτήρι, στη βαριά και στο πανορμπίτι, εκεί θα μείνω να προσκυνήσω και στην εικόνα να γονατίσω. Σημεί ωραία με κυπαρίσια, τα βοτανά σου και τα ξοκλήσια. Σημεί ωραία γενετήρα μου, είσαι το άστρο, είσαι θεά μου. Σημεί ωραία άστρο θεά μου, ίσου γεθάσαι μες στην καρδιά μου. Είσαι το άστρο, είσαι θεά μου. Σημεί ωραία άστρο παιδιά μου, ίσου και θα'σαι μες στην καρδιά μου.